listening friend. Welcome to the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. It's April 5th, 2013, 6 days away from launching the Merged Gospel series. And if you were tuned in on Wednesday, that's about all we talked about, the whole 23 minutes. We were pretty fired up on how we hoping and praying God's going to use that Merged Gospel series to impact lives, to touch us, to refine us, to encourage us, to convict us, to bring insight, and to fall in love more with Jesus. And Jason, I just want to publicly say quickly, after your prayer, I think revival is going to break out here in the studio. And I loved portions of your prayer where you didn't just only pray for your own church, the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, but you prayed for all the churches, all the ministries that had an impact this past Easter, that the Holy Spirit would continue to foster that watering, that tilling, that moving of the soil in people's hearts so that they would return to church, would continue to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just appreciate your heart for wanting people to know the great gift that God has offered to everyone. And so thank you for that prayer, and thank you for praying up our radio listeners, even those tuned in today. I love your word. It's by providence that they're tuned in today because God has something to share with them.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, so let's turn over to the book of Ruth in chapter 4. And we haven't been in the book of Ruth because of Easter and because of various things, the Israel trip. Haven't been in the book of Ruth in quite some time, maybe three weeks, I think, at least. So real quick, I'm going to give you the Ruth in a minute. So the first three chapters of Ruth in about a minute. So let's get rolling, let's get going, let's get humming, take a sip of coffee, open up your Bible, and let's go. First of all, remember there's no bread in the house. Bethlehem, the house of bread, no bread. Elimelech and Kilian and Mahlon and Naomi all jump in the car and they head to Moab.
Jump in the chariot.
Yeah, the chariot. Well, you know, the first century car. It doesn't say in the Bible they were all of one accord, so they were Honda fans. So they jumped in the Honda.
Wah, wah, wah. That's one of your lines.
But then all the men in the family died, and Ruth returned with Naomi, and Naomi was real bitter with a capital B. And then they chose to be an outcast, and then she went to glean. Just so happened, the providence, not happenstance, happened to show up in the fields of Boaz. And Boaz was wealthy and single, and Boaz was interested and honorable, and Boaz was humble in providing one ephah and then six of grain. Ruth was righteous and obedient, and then she went and she washed and anointed and put on her best robes, and she was appealing yet not tempting. And Ruth and Boaz was the kinsman redeemer, but Boaz was also honorable, integrous, and a man of character when he said to her, "There is another guy. He's first in line, not me." But now as we come into chapter 4, and as we start chapter 4, we find that Boaz was also intentional in redeeming Ruth. This is the chapter where not only Ruth is redeemed, but the nation of Israel and the direction of what's happening with Israel is redeemed. When we were in Israel, actually, it was really funny. We sat in the shop, Shorshim shop, with Moshe. And Moshe was talking about something about love. And I brought up Hesed, which is, if you go back and listen to the archive shows for Ruth, you'll hear me talk about Hesed, which is loving kindness. It's this perpetuation of loving kindness. The best way in Western terms that we can understand it is the concept of paying it forward. I pay in the drive-thru for your coffee behind me, and you get fired up about that, and you pay for the coffee for the person behind you and the person behind you. So it's this one act of kindness, this one movement of God that sparks a bigger movement, the snowball of that. Well, so I said to Moshe, he was talking about loving and kindness, and I said, well, that's like Hesed in the book of Ruth. And Moshe said this. He said, the book of Ruth is...
And he's Jewish.
He's Jewish. He said, the book of Ruth is the connection point for all of the Bible. He goes, it's the moment when God brought it all back together and then moved it forward. And we as Christians on this side of the cross, we know that because God brought it together and began this line of David that was going to go forward, from which Jesus was going to come from and be affirmed through David as king through the lens of the Jewish people. So this book of Ruth is so important. I keep hearing about the importance of it, and it keeps affirming for me why God laid it on my heart to, number one, teach it, number two, to just read it myself over and over again. And I love that Mark wanted to do it here on the radio broadcast, because I taught it for a number of weeks in the church, and then I thought I was kind of done with it. And, you know, it goes on the shelf, and the next time I'll come back to it when it's time to read that portion or whatever. But for this, it's had me back in it still and continuing to journey through the book of Ruth.
And heads up, we're going to be doing the book of Acts in the coming days, so I'm going to continue to have you on Fridays. I think the book of Acts might take like a year. So.
Oh, well, definitely. In the church, it's going to take 29 weeks. Ruth took 4 weeks in the church, and I think, well, I don't know what episode we're on now.
About 13.
That's a long 14. Long way through. So it says here, beginning in chapter 4, that meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat there. Now, it's interesting that it says meanwhile. Meanwhile, in Hebrew, the word that's used here is the word vav. Interestingly, in the New Testament, when it says sometime later in the book of John, it's used, look at the first bunch of chapters of John. Particularly, you'll find it in John chapter 5 in the beginning. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. It's the Greek word metatauté, which means sometime later, a span of time or a longer period of time. Used to let us know that there was a span of time between the last thing that happened and the time that happened next. Metatauté is a longer period of time. Here we have vav, and vav means right away. Vav is the man of action. And you know what? I want to speak. I've done this many times as we've done the book of Ruth. Speak to the men who are listening. Because a lot of you men out there, myself included at different periods of my life, though now I'm trying to be way more intentional about this. I've been the metatauté kind of guy. Like, I'll do that sometime later. Sometime later, I'll lead my family towards Christ. Sometime later, we'll read our Bible together. Sometime later, we'll pray together. Sometime later, I'll tell my wife how much I love her.
Well, John Jennings taught me years ago that if it doesn't remain on the honey-do list for at least 2 years, that's...
Right. Yeah, nice.
Yeah, I'd get in trouble for that one.
but I mean... A lot of us are metatauté kind of guys. Sometime later, a long period of time, we'll get to that, we'll do it. And instead, we need to be intentional, the vav kind of guys, who right away, a man of action, you step up and you do it. There's something that happens, you get your family around the table and you start praying. You are intentional when you wake up in the morning to roll over and tell your wife, you are beautiful and I am blessed to be with you. You are intentional about, like the Bible says, impressing God's word upon your children. You're intentional about leading, following, and loving God, not only with your family, but with all of God's people, with your neighbors. And so I want to just foster a culture of vav, where we are people, we are men of action, because the Bible continually calls men forward to do great things. And I think in today's culture, we live with a lot of metatauté men who kind of shirk back and just, you know, sometime later I'll do that. Sometime later I'll take care of that. You know, we sit in a lazy boy and we get sucked into it and we fall asleep.
You know, I also like that you qualified it a little bit by saying, you know, praying it up. They're not just impulsive and they don't just dart out and go reckless. They're intentional. They're feeling a conviction from God, or they take action because they know God is leading them. They're not putting it off. They've prayed it up. They've thought it through. They've sought counsel. They've got advice from others, from other godly people, and then they take action.
Well, a vav man starts at the Word of God, and the Word of God tells us to test everything, keep the good, and throw out the bad. So a vav man starts with God's Word, and you cannot, if you're really intentional about reading God's Word, you will not read God's Word apart from God's Spirit. So God's Spirit will be speaking to you and leading and guiding you. I tell you what, you want to not do silly and stupid and crazy things? Be intentional about listening to the Holy Spirit, because He's a great stopgap. He's your best friend when it comes to not doing those nutty things. Because I guarantee He's going to tell you, like, that's not a good idea. He does that all the time. In fact, there was one day where it was really funny. Something was happening in our house. I had done something wrong, clearly. My wife and I had a bit of a disagreement about something. And I was in the other room, and I could just feel the Holy Spirit like, you are so wrong right now. You are just so wrong. You really need to say you're sorry. And I'm like going, I don't need to say I'm sorry. You really need to say you're sorry. Finally, I went in the kitchen, and I said, did you sick the Holy Spirit on me?
Yeah.
She's like, well, I have been praying to Him. I'm like, don't sick Him on me. And then I realized that if I want something to happen, that's what I need to do. You know, now I'm starting to do it. I go like, clean your room. And they go in there and you hear me.
Now, this isn't you're speaking to your wife.
No.
This is to your children.
This is my children.
Yeah.
But clean your room. And then I just sit there and I go, Holy Spirit, tell them to clean their room. Holy Spirit, help them to be clean and orderly. Holy Spirit, help them to do that. And they clean their room. I go, like, I'm just going to stick the Holy Spirit on them from now on. But I just want us to foster a culture with men that we're Vav men, that we do it right away. And I qualify this all the time by saying that this is what Boaz did. Boaz, right away, it says, meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate. Vav, right away, Boaz, the man of action, went to the town gate and sat there. He was on a mission to find this other guy. And he sees him. And when he sees him, it says, when the kinsman redeemer he had mentioned came along. In there is the Hebrew word that means, aha, behold. It means like, whoa, there he was. But it's not, once again, it's like, how did Ruth arrive in the fields of Boaz? She didn't arrive there by chance. She didn't arrive there by happenstance. She arrived there by providence. And this guy didn't like, behold, aha, whoa, he's there. That didn't happen just out of the blue. That happened because Boaz was an intentional man of action. And then God said, here he comes. You got work to do, Boaz. And then it's really funny in here, and I want to make mention of this. I want people to see this. It says, when the kinsman redeemer he had mentioned came along, Boaz says, come over here, my friend, and sit down. So he went over, and he sat down. Notice that this guy makes it in the Bible, but not his name. Hmm. It doesn't make his name. In fact, the Hebrew there for the word my friend actually means Mr. So-and-so. It actually almost kind of... it mentions him, but the Hebrew of it kind of just alludes to that he's there, but it almost kind of erases his name. His name is immaterial because the man is really immaterial. The man is not going to be obedient to what God wants to do to further God's plan of redemption in the world. So the man is just kind of like a bit player in what's happening here. And the rabbis say that this is because God himself will not preserve this man's name. Why? Because the man will refuse to preserve the name of the next of kin. Therefore, God will refuse to preserve his name. This man isn't somebody who's going to try and redeem the nation of Israel, redeem what God is doing, be a part of that redemption. Instead, this guy's just kind of like, hard-hearted and stiff-necked, as God says in Exodus chapter 33.
Well, and he's all about himself, too, because right. When he learns that it's not going to be advantageous for him, there's going to be some sacrifice, or he's going to actually lose some of his investment, it's like, I'm out of here.
Yeah, and it says that Boaz took 10 elders of the town and said, sit here. And they did so. And he said to the kinsman redeemer, Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling a piece of land that belonged to our brother Elimelech. So he takes 10 elders of the town and he says, sit here. So Boaz is at the town gate and he takes these elders and he sits down. We find an allusion to this in Psalm 82, which says, God presides in the great assembly. He gives judgment among the gods. How long will you defend the unjust and show impartiality to the weak? And then Selah, it's like a rest in there. Defend the cause of the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the rights of the poor and the oppressed. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hands of wickedness. Basically, the psalm is saying there needs to be men who are going to stand for the great assembly with God in working in that community. And what we'd find in the nation of Israel, the gates of the city, is these 10 men, these appointed men who would come and sit there and they would preside over all the different things that happened in the city. If something was going to happen, say you wanted to marry somebody, you would come before the elders and say, I want to marry this woman, or you wanted to make, say, a land transaction, or you were new to the city, you would come and present yourself to these elders, which was a way of kind of the city council almost, if you would say. Now, the reason that Boaz here takes 10 men is because it takes 10 men in the Old Testament to make a congregation. 10 men together create a governing body. There's enough people to stand witness to each other, stand witness to what God wants to do, enough men to make sure that things don't go crazy or go awry. 10 men is the number that God appoints. And these would be 10 Jewish males over the age of 13. We find that in Joshua chapter 22 and verse 14. It says, with him they sent 10 of the chief men, one from each of the tribes of Israel.
Now you said over 13. Is it over 30 that they really
13 reached? Years of age.
Okay, I know that's the point of accountability, but isn't that manhood, isn't it something around 30?
30 is the point of power, full power.
Okay.
So full power would be 30. Then he comes there and he basically is saying, look, there's this land, and you're the first in line and I'm the next in line. Boaz is essentially saying to this guy, it's my intention to buy this land if you're not going to. He brings the elders together, and in the midst and in front of these elders now, Boaz gives his intention. Notice he doesn't give it before because he doesn't want there to be any gray lines. He wants there to be people standing witness to what he's going to say and what he's going to do. And what he is saying is that if you don't want it, I do. I am willing to redeem it. Now notice that this is not just a transaction, in my opinion. This is a proclamation in the sight of the men that God has appointed, these 10 men, and in the sight of God. He makes a public proclamation, I will redeem it. Boaz is saying, I will step into this place of redemption and reconciliation in the world that you are doing, God. And then Boaz said, on the day you buy the land from Naomi and from Ruth the Moabitess. This is important. Because this is the first time that Boaz refers to Ruth as the Moabitess. Before that, he says things like daughter. He uses different language to talk about her. He uses inclusive language. You're included in the kingdom of God. You're included in the work of redemption that God is doing. You're included in all things. Here, because Boaz wants this man to know what is happening, he uses specific language to let him know. You want this land? Because I know you think this land's a good deal. You're going to get more land, more crops, more money. I know you're kind of greedy probably. You're going to get all this stuff. By the way, you get an outsider with the deal. I mean, he uses intentional language to let him know. He uses the language that everybody else was using regarding Ruth all the way through up until this point. So he says, you'll be getting the outsider with it. And you acquire the dead man's widow also. Remember, being a widow at this time was not good because widows needed social service. Widows didn't have any money. They were a drain on society. Listen to what Boaz is saying. And Boaz is being pretty shrewd here, I think, which I think is okay. Boaz says, you're going to get the outsider and you're also going to get the widow in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property. At this, the kinsman redeemer said, then I cannot redeem it because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it. So this guy hears that he's going to get the outsider, and he hears that he's going to get the widow. By the way, he would also be responsible for any children that would be had then too. He would have to take from his own children now and divide his estate up between those. Remember this tale of the prodigal son where we have in the beginning the division of the estate between the two sons. The first son would always get a little more, but then the second son would get a percentage too. Now here, if you have more kids, if this man and say Ruth were to have some kids, then all of a sudden there's even more kids to divide the land up. So the integrity of his land would be at stake here. So he would have to support these people. One of the questions you have to say is, was Ruth and Naomi that undesirable? Well, if we go to Leviticus chapter 25, we find that the land reverts to the original owner in the Jubilee year. This land would be returned to Elimelech's proper heir through Ruth. If this guy had a son by Ruth, like I said before, that son would be his only surviving heir. And Malan's property, part of Elimelech's estate, would go to that family. We understand that because he says there, then when he says, are you going to do it? The man says, I cannot. Which means he denies redemption. He sees it right away. His I cannot is I will not. He's not willing. And then what does Boaz say? Boaz says, I will redeem it. Boaz says, I will redeem it. Boaz steps into that moment where he's partnering with God. He's standing in that place with God of redemption, of renewal. He's heard God's call on his heart. He's seen what God wants to do. He's a vav man, a man of action who stepped forward by the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit, and he's willing to be in that place. I mean, let's be honest. This place right here amongst these men, these 10 men who were appointed over the city and this other kinsman redeemer, this would not have been a comfortable place to stay. This would have been a place where there was tension, where there was frustration, where, obviously listen to the language that Boaz is having to use. This would have been a difficult place to stand. And yet because Boaz is a vav man, he stands there. He's willing to stand there. And I would just ask, is there some place in your life that you are hesitant to stand? And that you need to stand. You know what? Because this is what I believe in my life, and I'm going to be honest with you. When I started doing ministry, I was scared to death to ask people to partner financially in with the ministry that I was a part of. I was scared to death to talk to people about reading the Bible, even though I love the Bible with my whole soul, my whole heart, my whole mind. Even though I knew that God's ministry goes forward, there were things that I was unsure about, that I was hesitant about, that I was uncomfortable about. And as I read God's word and saw how God used people to fund ministries, as I read God's word, how God's people were passionate, even in the face of death, that they weren't fearful. I realized I didn't have to have any fear. You know, Boaz, because he knows, loves, believes, and has been called by God, he stands in this uncomfortable place, not shirking back and scared, but instead with a boldness and a fearlessness that comes only from God. And so I guess that I would ask today, friend, is there a place in your life where you're hesitant? Maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe it's with your kids. Maybe it's your witness at work. Maybe it's your own just reading and praying. Maybe you feel like you can't come into the presence of God, and so you hesitate from having anything to do with God, Jesus, the Bible, and church. And if you listen to the Spirit of God and you begin to get yourself into God's Word, you'll be strengthened. You know, James says you have a choice. You can either be tossed around like a boat on the waves, or you can seek the wisdom of God that will strengthen you and help you to persevere in places that it just isn't easy to stand. God wants to strengthen you today. God wants to lift you up today. God wants you to remember that you don't have to live in Friday, that you've been called to live in Sunday, in the resurrection and the power that comes through Jesus Christ. And you can come into that place, but you gotta stop being metatauté, and you gotta start being vav, because a man of action who starts with the Word of God and God's Holy Spirit, he's not scared to stand. And so stand in that place today, the place that Jesus has already marked out in victory for you at the cross and into the tomb. He didn't do that for himself. He did that for you.
And that importance of standing in His strength and in His power, not in your own ability or giftedness or the power that you think you have. Stand firm in His strength and in His power. And you can do that because He cares for you. He loves you. He's designed you. He has a plan for you. And He'll work through it using His power to His glory. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day, night, and weekend.